Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
And now joined by the outstanding Bill Bender, Sporting News. Too long since you've been on the show, but Bill, thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, and I got a good story for you right off the bat. I was taking my son home from his last football game a couple weeks ago, and we popped on the Penn State broadcast toward the end, and you made the call on the touchdown, you know, against Indiana late, and Grant was like, that was really good. And I was like, and when we got home, we watched it. I was like, Steve's the best because I pictured in my head exactly how it happened. You are still the best, man. It's great to talk to you.
Well, that is very kind of Grant and you to say that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Let's talk like we always do.
Like we always do. And you wrote, I think you wrote the column that others should have been thinking about, but this is why we like having you on, because you think big picture here. Penn State could answer Big Ten question with Michigan where it counts, and that is on the field this week. There's a lot of talk, but you zeroed in on where it counts, Bill.
I was curious, for the starter, as to, you know, I listened to James Franklin, watched it, his press conference, and he seemed very matter of fact. You know, he was actually highly complimentary of the Michigan football team. You know, he spent 3 minutes talking about their depth chart. And I think I saw a heightened focus in this game and those kind of things. And like I said, so tomorrow, let's theorize, we can talk about it. We have to. If the Big Ten, whatever they decide with Michigan, if it's tomorrow, a week from now, whenever, it's not going to make everybody happy. It's not even going to make people happy that got their way, because they're going to want more punishment. And so for me, it's like, what do you really want? You want to see somebody beat them on the field. You want to see a Penn State beat them on the field, or Ohio State or Georgia or whoever. And this is Penn State's chance to do it. All of this talk about the sign stealing and the merits of it and what's gray and not gray, in between those lines, as James Franklin said, in between that 53 and a third, it's not gray. It's black and white, and we'll find out who wins the game.
One thing I find interesting is that till this week, I really hadn't watched Michigan because, when you get home, you're a fan. So I want to watch a good game. And there was never a compelling game leading in. And I watched it this week. And you can see they're really, really good. But what does that say about the schedule, Bill, that there wasn't really a game that had the whole country juiced and anxious to watch them?
Well, I mean, I think it's been a while. And I've watched, a lot of Michigan, a lot of Penn State, a lot of Ohio State this year. And Michigan the last 3 weeks, one trend I noticed and one thing that if there was a question James Franklin took more than anything else this week, it was about, what was it about? The interior run defense.
Yep.
Because Michigan rushed for 400 yards in this game last year. And the last 3 weeks, Michigan has averaged less than 4 yards per carry. And that would be the concern, because if you get on the road, and what else did James Franklin talk about? Getting behind the sticks. Mm-hmm. So this is my way of saying, he was very on point. That might have been his best press conference of the year, because he's telling you everything that matters most in this game, and I agree with him 100%.
Well, what's interesting is Blake Corum, I think I've got this right, has 16 touchdowns this season rushing, which is phenomenal. And he's a quality player. But all 16 are inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, they're good in the red zone. So the running game's still, when they get close, there's no bones about what they're doing. They're lining it up and getting behind those All-American guards, and they're putting the ball in the end zone. Blake Corum, also good kid, too. Been around him a little bit, Big Ten Media Day. Good success story coming off that injury. So that will be the key, red zone defense in this game. And I got to see you very briefly in Columbus.
Yeah.
And the key in that game is very similar, is that it really came down to a lot of third and shorts. Yep. Both ways, and I think the difference in that game and what Michigan doesn't have that Ohio State does is they have Marvin Harrison, and he's the best player in the conference.
No question. When you look at McCarthy, this is one that Jim has put a lot of effort into, not a transfer, homegrown, it looks to me, Bill, like he gets better each season. When you watch him, where do you think he's better?
Knowing when the play is over. Mm-hmm. He's made less mistakes on. He is tremendous at extending plays. But last year, when he would extend a play, he would maybe run backwards, fumble, throw an ill-advised pass. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He is a separator for them. He's been I think he's what has put them over the top as far as Michigan teams go this year, because he's been very good in that intermediate passing game. He's established a really good connection with Roman Wilson. He's taken the next step. And I don't want to say polarizing, but he has that look, and I think Jim Harbaugh aptly described him, a little bit of Brady, which anytime you say Brady, people lose their minds, and a little bit of Jim McMahon, and a little bit of Jim McMahon in his game, which I can see it.
No. He plays with confidence and swagger. Well, mm-hmm. If I had his ability, I'd play with confidence and swagger, too.
Yeah, and he... I think so much of that came from them beating Ohio State in Columbus last year in a game where they didn't have Blake. He was able to go in there, make a couple throws, and it was huge. Now, on the other side, and I was in the Penn State. I went after Penn State lost to Ohio State. I went to the Penn State pressers, and I came away so impressed with Drew Aller after that press conference, because I talked. This is another lesson I did with Grant. I said, "Listen, Drew had a rough game, but he was open about it. He was emotional. That's okay." And as that press conference went on with Drew, I noticed something, and I know the Penn State reporters did too, is kind of composed himself a little bit more each time. And then it was like, okay. And you could see how much it means to him. I was totally impressed by him, and been even more impressed with his play the last 2 weeks. He's going to need to take some shots and hit them against this Michigan secondary for Penn State to it's not an upset for them to get this win against two top 10 teams.
That's right. No, it's not an upset. I mean, you're playing at home. You have talent. So I want to get one quick Corum story so everybody knows the kind of quality kid this is. Last year, of course, he gets hurt. He's out. And as Bill just mentioned, he doesn't play against Ohio State. He had made a commitment to hand out turkeys on Thanksgiving Day. He showed up and handed them all out. And, you know, I mean, that tells you something about it. It wasn't a woe-is-me thing. Hey, this is going to help other people. So, did. So again, believe it or not, yes, people, Michigan has quality kids, too.
Well, they both do. And then Olu, yeah. The other one in the locker room after the press conference room there in Ohio State after, very measured. He is mature. He sounds like a 10-year NFL tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, like, all right now. And with the way that he carries himself, and he kind of admitted, yeah, this one hurts a little more, but we have it's our responsibility to go about our business and do the things necessary. I can't be more impressed with him as well. So there are good kids. The adults are messing things up, at least on some level. But these kids on both sides of this game, worth the price of admission, a lot of them.
Agreed. And that's part of the fun of the job. Part of the fun of the job is getting to meet quality young people that represent themselves so well. The tough part of the job is having to deal with the ancillary stuff. So what has been your impression of the information that has come out about sign stealing and how Michigan has so far in its way reacted to it?
Well, it sounds like, depending on what the Big Ten decides, and this has kind of been my read on the situation from the word go, is if there's wrongdoing found and it goes beyond what Connor Stallions was doing, I think the one that hits me the most, the sending third-party scouts to other stadiums, not a fan because it's against the rules, but I'm kind of like, whatever. Trading signals with other coaches, you can't just say everybody does it. Well, if everybody does it, then what are we doing? And the one that hits me, though, is if – and it's alleged right now. If that was him on the Central Michigan sideline, that's wrong. That's the most flagrant thing that's wrong to me and should be punished on some level. And I've thought all along the suitable punishment, at least in the short term, if they can link anything to Jim Harbaugh, which they haven't, but they need to, it would be to take him off the field for a couple games. And I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to take Michigan off the field and make them ineligible when they can do that later, which the NCAA does. Mm-hmm. And they let it play. That's what I said. If Penn State beats them on the field, on some level, problem solved, because it triggers that possibility for a quirky Big Ten East tiebreaker, which we can talk about that if you want.
Yeah. And it is quirky. The Penn State's win over Iowa has more magnitude than people realize on this, because Jack Ham and I, Jack and I were driving back from Maryland on Saturday. And so he asked me about it, and I said, Jack, I haven't even bothered to look at it. I didn't want to look at it until it got to the week of the Michigan game. And I looked at it. I think, Bill, as usual, you came up with the best word. It's quirky.
Right. Yeah, and so for the listeners that don't know, what will happen if Penn State wins and Michigan beats Ohio State in Ann Arbor, you would have a three-way tie, 3-11-1 teams, and you go all the way down, I believe it's the fourth or fifth tiebreaker, and this takes a lot to say on the air. It would be their Big Ten West opponent's conference winning percentage would determine who goes to Indianapolis. And if you look at that right now, the advantage would go to the Nittany Lions. Their Big Ten West opponents have an 8-10 conference winning percentage. And Ohio State and Michigan, 7-11. So they're a game back. So in addition to rooting for Penn State, you have to turn on the Iowa game. You have to turn on – they played Northwestern. You have to turn on Northwestern. And Big Ten West football is its own – you want to talk about drama. That's its own, like, Shakespeare couldn't write about that, man.
Well, I'll tell you one that off the air we've had a little fun with, you know, and I've told the story on this show. But Jack and I could care less about gambling in any way, shape, or form. The only one we do have a little fun about is what the over and under is on an Iowa game.
Right. Oh, I mean, my boss is an Iowa grad, Elliot Ponnell, and he's a great boss. And so we have so much fun with him every week about this. And, you know, there's something to be said about how they're doing it, but, you know, it really is amazing that they could end up in Indianapolis, or Minnesota could end up in Indianapolis, or even Wisconsin. It's a you know, problem solved next year with the reinforcements coming in from the West Coast. But in the short term, it does. I don't know if you saw that tweet from the Sickos committee about they made the Iowa-Northwestern game a silent film, put it in black and white. It is hysterical. I think I retweeted it Sunday. I was in tears laughing about how good it was.
And this week, by the way, they went from 30.5 Minnesota – 29.5 Northwestern. This week with Rutgers, I saw it was 28.5. Like, really?
Yeah. It's down to 28.5. And Rutgers coming off an Ohio State loss, that may hit the under. This may be a 13-10 rock fight. That's funny that I think Michigan Penn State will have more points than Iowa Rutgers. The more you think about it with these defenses that Penn State and Michigan have. And again, James Franklin talked about this. You're not talking about Penn State against just another Michigan team. You're talking about Penn State against a Michigan team that has allowed less than 7 points per game. And you're talking about a Penn State defense that, despite losing in Columbus, they only gave up 20 points. You would think that if you give up 20 points or less in this game, you're going to have a chance to win.
Exactly. Look, you saw Penn State, Ohio State, and then there are other times you've probably caught them on TV along the way. What is your general impression of Penn State?
I think this defense is really good. I do. I think they got to avoid a slow start this week. They need to get the crowd into it early, because Michigan hasn't had to have that moment where they're like, oh, man, we're down 7. Oh, we're down 10. We got to get this first down. And the pressure starts to build a little bit. They need to have a fast start. That might sound like, well, no kidding. But they do have a defense that can keep you in a game for four quarters. And I go back to the Ohio State game. One of the key moments in that game, they get a fumble from Kyle McCord. They get a touchdown. You guys have talked about this. The holding call brings that touchdown back. If there's not a defensive hold on that play, the entire complexion of that game changes. And who comes up with that moment in the first half of this game? Is it Michigan? Is it a turnover? Their secondary is pretty darn good. Or is it Penn State coming up with a fumble? And like I said, getting that crowd into it. Having home field advantage matters, and it probably matters in more in games like this.
What energizes you about the job today? Because everybody gets in the job, they're excited, they're enthusiastic. What gets the juices flowing for you now at this stage?
I've been doing it for a while, you know, and I know. I'm in my early 40s. I think part of the excitement kind of circles back to my kids, having a seventh grade boy and a fourth grade girl, and that Bella and Grant are into sports as well, and you want to teach them to like these sports for the right way, the right reasons. And, you know, when I watch a college football game, and I try my best not to let my cynicism outweigh what you're watching, because at the end of the day, for all this stuff going off the field, I'm like, man, Michigan Penn State's going to be pretty cool, and Michigan Ohio State's going to be cool, and the 12-team playoff, for all my reservations about it, yeah, it's probably going to be pretty cool, because in a year like this year, all three of those teams would be in the field.
Exactly. That's the 12-team playoff thing. When it first came out, I said, well, four, maybe eight. Right? But to be honest with you, after watching everything play out the last couple of years, I know how Georgia's won the last two. Jeez, Bill, I feel like at least in that upper crust area, there's maybe the teams are a little closer together in terms of being bunched together, I think, than people realize in terms of quality of play. I don't know what you think.
The top 10 is very much like that. The gap between – so who's 10 now? Is Penn State 10?
10.
Penn State was 10. And I'll rope Louisville in at 11 and say the gap between Georgia and Louisville isn't what it was 2 years ago when Georgia had the Super Friends All-American All-Star team out there beating up on everybody. And I think the gettability factor on Georgia is there. Now it's a matter of can – Ole Miss or Alabama or the Big Ten East champion actually go out and do it. Actually impressed with how Kirby's coached that team this year with the Brock Bowers injury. But that's what makes this year exciting is Texas is still in the mix. These Pac-12 teams are playing good football, and we still have two more legs with the three Big Ten East teams. And, you know, it's already a November 11th. I can't believe that either.
I know. That's amazing. And this what makes it fun. These games make it fun, no question. It is always great to talk with you. Because, see, Bill and I don't do the Q&A thing. We just talk.
I learned that from one of our colleagues, Dave Jones, who does a fantastic job covering the Nittany Lions. You want to, just like we were sitting in our living rooms and talking about a game or sitting at a bar, that's the best way to do it, the best radio interviews. And like I said at the top, Steve, it's a big reason why you're one of the best in my book.
Well, Bill, you're one of the best in my book. There's a long list of reasons why. Thank you so much. You always bring such clarity to what's going on, and you know, you're just one of those guys that gets it. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. You guys have a great weekend. Appreciate you.
That is Bill Bender, Sporting News.